for that. I'm joined now in the studio by Leo McGuinn. Hi, Leo. We're heading back to our top story today. Chinese President Xi Jinping here in France on a state visit. How's that visit being covered by the press, both here in France and in China?
I'll start by bringing you the Chinese press this morning. According to the China Daily, the visit is in order to consolidate solid ties, who assert that the strengthening of Franco-Chinese friendship will also be a boon for the rest of the world. Another daily, the Global Times, agrees, arguing that the ties between France and China benefit their peoples and contribute to global stability. The newspaper explains that France, but also Serbia and Hungary, where Xi Jinping will be visiting later, each representative in their own way. France, because it was the first major Western country to establish diplomatic relations with China. Serbia, because it is China's first comprehensive strategic partner in Central and Eastern Europe. And Hungary, because it's an important partner for advancing cooperation within the framework of a new Silk Road. The French press is perhaps unsurprisingly less enthusiastic about the visit. I'll start with Le Figaro. They say that Xi Jinping's visit is intended to neutralise Europe and deepen the divisions of the Western bloc. Let's go to Les Echos next. If I can bring that up, Les Echos, who point out that the war in Ukraine and trade tensions have deteriorated relations between Paris and Beijing. L'Humanité denounce what they call a fool's game between Xi Jinping and Emmanuel Macron, torn between American power, Europe and the economic opportunities offered by Beijing. Le Monde have this article focusing on the protests that took place in Paris yesterday. Over 1,000 demonstrators took to the streets, among them Uyghur Muslims, Tibetans and Chinese critics, all braving the Parisian rain in order to voice their discontent at the Chinese president's visit.
Well, we move now to the Middle East, where the Israeli government has voted to shut down Al Jazeera in the country, a decision that many are calling an attack on press freedoms.
Yeah, and I'll start in Israel with Haaretz, which is a left-leaning paper, often critical of the Israeli government. They implore a rethink in this editorial piece, saying that in making this anti-democratic decision, Israel took a step down the slippery slope on the way to becoming a country that silences people. Shuttering Al Jazeera may turn out to be only a preface to a policy in which any media outlet which the government doesn't like is just simply shut down. The piece says that Israel can criticise the Al Jazeera broadcast all it wants, but its job isn't to close TV channels, finishing by saying that this is how it is when there's an extreme right-wing government in place that has declared war on freedom of expression. Moving on to The Guardian, they say it's a dark day for the media. It raises questions over free speech in Israel. Al Jazeera, which is funded by Qatar, has often been critical of Israel's military actions in Gaza and accused them of targeting Al Jazeera journalists in particular. Israeli officials said the move was justified because Al Jazeera poses a threat to national security, an assertion which has been ridiculed and denounced by Al Jazeera. I'll finish with the Committee to Protect Journalists, who released this statement condemning the action, warning that the vote could set a dangerous precedent for other international media outlets working in Israel. Their statement finishes by saying the Israeli cabinet must allow Al Jazeera and all international media outlets to operate freely in Israel, especially during wartime.
Okay, we're going to change gears somewhat now. We're heading to the oceans, and you found an article that's talking about shrinking fish.
Yeah, it's a really interesting long read in the Washington Post this morning, actually. Fish are shrinking, and that could have big implications worldwide, with billions of people depending on seafood for protein. Three quarters of marine fish population sampled worldwide have seen their average body size dwindle in the last 40 years. Overfishing and human-caused climate change are decreasing the size of adult fish. As fish get smaller, there's a lot less meat to cook per catch. And for years, the leading theory for why fish grow smaller was in the warmer waters was to do with their gills. Fish, unlike humans, cannot regulate their body temperature well. So when body temperature goes up, so too does the oxygen they require. But some scientists thought the limited surface area of fish gills couldn't keep up with the extra demand of a bigger body, leading fish to cut their growth short. Some scientists are now doubting that theory. Whatever the reason, the shrinking fish phenomenon could refashion ecosystems. Smaller fish can produce fewer eggs, potentially altering ecosystems as ocean temperatures rise. For those who depend on the sea for their livelihoods, all those smaller fillets fetch a lower price as well, of course.
Well, Leo, from fish now to beef. I see what you've done there. There's a feud in the US that's got everyone talking.
Yeah, beef, as you say, between Kendrick Lamar and Drake, and their feud is showing no signs of slowing down. And for those of you who are a bit lost, don't worry, Vulture have you covered. They have this handy explainer of what is perhaps the most prominent rap beef since the 90s and Biggie and Tupac. The feud has lasted nearly 10 years, but it's really heated up in the last few days with several tracks being traded between the two. They start off on a lighter note, but they've got really quite dark and personal in the last few days. Kendrick Lamar's released three tracks in the last 48 hours. He's accused Drake of some pretty serious stuff, such as allegedly grooming young women. He's also called him a deadbeat dad and has accused him of hiding a child from the world. For his part, Drake has alleged abuse and infidelity in his relationship, in Kendrick's relationship with his fiancée. And Drake actually published a response in just the last few hours, denying accusations, saying he's tired of the feud. I'll bring you this piece in The Ringer to end. They call it the last great rap beef, thank God, as hip-hop has now become hyper-regional. Drake and Kendrick represent the last artists popular enough to suck up enough oxygen to make it warrant such a beef. This article calls the whole thing exhausting. Both these men have kids and families that they could be focusing on. Instead, we're treated to a beef that started over essentially nothing. The piece ends with this damning line that I'll bring you. As with most hip-hop beefs, we've ended up where we're always destined to be, men using women, wives, baby mothers, parents and children in increasingly gross and depraved ways to satisfy their rabid egos.
Well, a rollicking end to the press review there. Leo McGuinn, thank you very much.